Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing well, fellas. How you guys doing this morning?
We are doing great, and Titans fans also doing great. They go into Baltimore. Yeah. Derrick Henry steals the soul of the Ravens once again. What did that win for the Titans show you about their chances moving forward, and what does it tell you about the Ravens and where they are right now?
Well, the logo stomp I thought was pretty funny.
We did too.
First off, like I'm not saying that. I love doing it when there's like no fans.
Right.
Like, I love the ability to like go in and do it and not have to deal. And Baltimore fans not the kindest people on earth, so I'm sure that would have been a slightly different game situation. You know, following the little mix up in the middle of the field. Actually, what I thought was interesting about that was, I remember years and years and years going into the Patriots locker room, including when Mike Vrabel was there, and just hearing the Patriots constantly for years manufacture all these, us against the world kind of mentality story themes, always. And I'm like sitting there like, man, we've been calling you guys a dynasty for like a decade, and you're still coming up with like, what are these problems where everybody's against us and finding a way to sort of fortify themselves? And that's what I thought about when I saw that. I was like kind of, obviously this isn't the Patriots, but I see this sort of maneuver to galvanize. And, I think the coaching staff leaning into that a little bit with the players and the jaw jacking that went on between, the coaches and then sort of, the post game handshake situation, was it on purpose? Was it not? All these different things. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because I think it helps to, particularly in a stretch of any season, but particularly this season, give a little extra juice to guys. I thought this was an impressive win. As you said, I mean, Derrick Henry, just to sort of see what happened in overtime and kind of how the flow of the game went in the second half. This, I'm kind of like, okay, now I'm starting to see, particularly from offense, some of the hallmarks of this team that I was familiar with last year that really felt like it carried them into the playoffs. And then I look at Baltimore and, man, I'll tell you what, they lack a deep threat in the worst possible way. I mean, like, flat out, Willie Snead, Des Bryant are never going to get you anything deep. And I think taking away the deep shot and some of the play action stuff, because the running scheme is so, it's not as effective as it was last year for Baltimore, has really hurt them. So I think it's interesting, because to me it was just one of those games where you sit there and you look at the overall picture of it and you say, well, other than Kansas City, I mean, is what other team in the NFC is clearly better? What other team in the AFC is clearly better than Tennessee? And I think they're in the mix with everybody else. They're going to have to deal with Kansas City. We've seen that, Kansas City's got some vulnerabilities. So I can understand fans feeling really good coming out of this one. And they have every right to feel that way. And I, like I said, the pregame stuff, I really kind of like that.
You feeling any better at all about the Colts with this sort of offensive / Phil Rivers renaissance we're seeing?
I don't believe in the Phil Rivers renaissance. The thing about Rivers is, I think, is he playing better? Yes. Is the offensive line playing better? Yes. The running game, I still don't think it's completely sorted out. I know they're like, oh, Jonathan Taylor, now they're, leaning back into him again. I still don't think those fumbling problems have gone away. I expect that's something that'll rear its head again. And, Rivers, the problem with Rivers is when you watch him over the totality of a game, I'm telling you, the guy, when you see games where you're like, oh, he only had one interception, you're happy about that, go watch the film. There are a couple that were dropped, or there are, something was misplayed in the secondary, because he's still prone every single game. You can count three or four passes that he sticks in places. You're like, dude, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this? And not even like under pressure duress situations. It's decision. He's making a decision to put a ball in a place that is just not smart. And I think you can get away with that over the course of a regular season with a good team. But I think when you get into the playoffs, you know, that's something that is going to be really critical for them. So I'm calling it now. You're going to see the Colts. There's going to be a Phillip Rivers, one of those just head scratching, you know, almost like what we saw last night with Tom Brady. Like, what is this guy doing and why is he throwing the ball there? You know, he's far too experienced to be doing this at this stage in his career, yet he is.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Charles, you brought up Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, and it's been interesting to watch their games this year where they've looked great. Brady's looked awesome. And then you have games like last night where Brady looks like a rookie quarterback, and it's almost unbelievable what you're seeing out there from him. What do you make of Brady and the Bucs and their chances moving forward here, given how inconsistent they've been?
I'm telling you, this offensive scheme, I know everybody thought, well, Brady's going in there and it's going to be his scheme and they're just going to run, you know, the Patriots stuff or whatever. No, that's not at all what has happened. Like, Tom Brady has gone in there and he's running, you know, the Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich scheme. And early on in the season when he was making some mistakes, I think what was interesting was if you really paid close attention, there were a couple of times where they would break huddle and he would look at his wristband, which told me he doesn't know the offense completely right now. Like, he's still walking up to the line of scrimmage, at least in the first few games of the season, and trying to figure some things out schematically in terms of the calls and what they're doing at the line of scrimmage. I'm like, man, you just never, when was the last time Tom Brady ever had to look at his wrist to figure out what he was doing at the line of scrimmage? Not so much now, but you still see things scheme-wise that, so for, okay, good example, when that game last night when he throws the interception, you have a situation where there's enough time on the clock, you know, you can tie the game with a field goal, so you know, he's moving the ball, and you take a deep shot down the middle of the field, and I'm kind of like, that's not what would happen in New England. That's not the offense he ran in New England. Like, he ran a lot of 15 and in New England, a lot. I mean, the majority of their offense in New England was 15 and in, and part of that was because of the personnel they had there, or whatever. But that's clearly what he became comfortable running. And now you have Godwin, you have Evans, you have a lot of deep shot players, and so they try to, you know, run the functionality through still taking deep shots. Well, Tom, for whatever reason, either because he hasn't done it in a while or, you know, he's still getting comfortable with some of the aspects of that offense, he's making a lot of mistakes. And the interceptions last night, I don't understand how a player of his caliber didn't see the safety coming off. Like, it was just, particularly the last one was just, it was unbelievable. And, you know, so we can say what we want about the scheme, which I do think that has something to do with it. And what, you know, he spent decades running in New England, but also that was a bad decision. He's making some bad decisions, and I don't know if it's like him forcing it, you know, or he feels like he has a certain confidence in a guy like Mike Evans or whatever, and, you know, that plays into it, but not where he should be now. And the thing is, I don't think Bruce Arians, he'll circle the wagons when he has to, but he's going to continue to be critical of Brady, you know, if this keeps happening. And he's not going to allow people to go, well, it's a Byron Leftwich thing, or Bruce Arians needs to take over play calling or whatever. Bruce isn't going to play that game. He's going to go, this is Tom. It's not our play calling. It's not our OC. It's the player who's got to get used to how this is functioning.
I think it's all just Antonio Brown karma, but I can't prove it.
It could be.
So league-wide, Charles, crazy year, crazy offseason coming. Some teams in some trouble here moving forward?
The Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, what are you going to do? You're watching that situation, and Carson Wentz has fallen apart. Like, and this is a player that, first off, it's a franchise that is so underwater next year with the salary cap. You know, I think they're looking at like 50, 60 million in the red as it is with the rollback. And so you already have a lot of bloodletting that's got to happen there. I think there's issues in the coaching staff. But Carson Wentz, it's like all season, it's sort of like, well, as long as they get Wentz right, it'll be okay. And he just, every single game, it's like he's, you know, not only turning the ball over, but continually making bad mistakes. I think mechanically So, you know, I've known people in their staff for a while, and including some people who have left the building. And you just hear stories about how, like, even going back to, you know, his rookie season, there was always this penchant for him to get really sloppy in terms of his mechanics. And then, like, every off season having to tune that up, being like, okay, well, we got to fix this. And you can't have too many people in his ear, and it screws him up. And I think he's kind of reverted back to that, having some of these mechanics problems, you know, the decision-making that he's fallen into is not good for the Eagles. And the contract's already there. You can't get rid of this guy. I mean, you're talking, I could, off the top of my head, I mean, it's got to be between a $50 and $60 million cap hit to not have him on the roster after this season. And that's just, I don't have any clue how you could possibly do that unless GM Howie Roseman's like, yeah, I'm out of here. Like, I'm going to go somewhere else. You know? So, I think the Eagles are definitely a team that they're looking at having to have some significant alterations, coaching alterations, roster alterations. It could be a complete teardown around Wentz. They, you know, feel like they just got to figure it out with him. And then, you know, I think beyond the Eagles, you know, you're starting to see other teams that I think the Jets, interestingly enough, might have a problem here with how bad the season's going right now and how it relates to Joe Burrow and what just happened with Burrow in Cincinnati, because the Jets, other than Mekhi Becton, their offensive line has been just atrocious this year. And I'm telling you, Trevor Lawrence and the people that advised him are absolutely 100% looking at Burrow and going, we can't have a situation where this kid's going to go, you know, to some team and they're going to Joe Burrow him. They're going to just pile on to him and he's going to end up suffering this catastrophic knee injury or just get, you know, shelled like David Carr with the Texans, you know, 20 years ago. We cannot have that happen. So weirdly enough, what happened with the Bengals, I think, kind of hurts the Jets moving forward.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles, last thing for you here. Look, I think if you ask most people right now, Patrick Mahomes probably getting their MVP vote. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. Where does Ben Roethlisberger fit in that conversation, given the fact that he's come back in and the Steelers still undefeated on the season, 10-0, and obviously we saw the Steelers without him last year. Where do you think Roethlisberger fits into that conversation?
You know, I think he's in there. I actually have an MVP vote, and I think I would consider, you know, Ben as being a guy that's part of that conversation. I think that I don't think there's any question that, you know, comeback player of the year, he probably has, laced up pretty well. I let's see how they finish the remainder of the year. I think the thing that separates Mahomes from Roethlisberger is that, or at least for me, if I start to parse out the votes, and again, you know, you got to kind of see how the remainder of the season goes for the Steelers. I mean, if they really run the table, you really, really have to factor that in just because of how difficult it is. I think Ben's having a fantastic year. The one thing about Mahomes, though, that I think sets him apart in an MVP conversation is, you know, when they're playing that game Sunday, and, you know, Kansas City gets the ball back and, you know, needing a touchdown. And I remember looking up and I was like, all right, how much time is on the clock? And it was like 1:40. And I'm like, yeah, that's like 1:15 too much. And I almost wonder when it will start to be a detriment for Pat Mahomes that we start to take for granted how good he is, the numbers he puts up. It took him a while to kind of get in the MVP conversation this year. And all of a sudden I looked at his numbers and he had like, it was like a week or two ago, he had like 25 touchdowns and one interception. And I'm like, how, what the heck? Like he's so crazy at this point that it's like Bill Belichick for all those years. It was like he rarely won coach of the year. And it was just because you're like, well, it's the Patriots and it's Bill and it's Tom. And you just, you know, it ends up being something that almost gets weighted against him. I think, though, when you separate Ben and Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if there's a minute and 40 left on the clock and they need a touchdown. I'm not looking at Ben Roethlisberger and thinking the percentages are far higher that he's going to score a touchdown versus not scoring a touchdown. With Mahomes, I really absolutely feel that way. Actually, it's like if there's a minute 40 and they need a touchdown, I'm like, they're probably going to get it. And so I think that's kind of what, you know, hurts Roethlisberger. But again, this is obviously rare what the Steelers are doing. If they run the table, I just don't see any way you can't factor in Ben. I'd be stunned if he didn't get some MVP votes in a season where, you know, they could potentially go 16-0 or 15-1 or 14-2. That's pretty special.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Charles, thanks for joining us, man. Great stuff as always. Happy Thanksgiving and enjoy that game on Thursday between Washington and Dallas. We're all looking forward to it.
Yeah, and by the way, why are the Lions still playing?
Tradition,
like,
Charles.
People need to start that. I know Ford Motor Company for a really long time was like the lead NFL sponsor. That's over. Okay, the Lions don't deserve a Thanksgiving Day game anymore. I've said my piece. Enjoy your holiday. Be safe.
Thanks, Charles. We appreciate it. I think that may be something we could all get behind, getting the Lions off of Thanksgiving Day football. It is tradition, Joe.
I actually think it's hilarious. I want it to continue.
When we come back, it seems like to me the Steelers aren't getting a whole lot of love, even though they're 10-0, had the chance to go undefeated in the regular season. Why is that? Where's the love for the Pittsburgh Steelers? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.